Welcome to the Sensory Project Show with Rachel and Jessica. We're here to share all things sensory, occupational therapy, parenting, self-care, and overall health and wellness from a therapist's perspective, providing raw, honest, fun ideas and strategies for parents and families to implement into daily life. Thank you so much for joining us. We also have just recently launched our new therapeutic ebook bundle. So those are all of the resources from the club in 2019 and 2020, the first year that we did the club. And there's so much information in there for you guys.
But it's all organized so you don't get overwhelmed.
Yep. So lots of the visuals and the handouts and things that we talk about in our podcast episodes we have in there. So you guys can check that out with the show notes, the link in our show notes.
Yep. Everything is linked. It's all there. So you can get it.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the Sensory Project Show. This is number 117.
And if you're new to the podcast, welcome. We are Rachel and Jessica, and we are so excited that you're here. If you are one of our lifers, then, I mean, welcome back, and thanks for being here.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode. We're happy that you guys are here.
Yes.
So today we are going to be talking about ear infections and specifically the connection between ear infections and the vestibular system.
Ooh, okay. But first, let's just talk about, you know, for everyone out there who doesn't know what an ear infection is, let's talk about what it is.
Okay.
So got a little bit of info from a website called kidshealth.com. And they said that children, especially in the first 2 to 4 years of life, will get ear infections more than adults for several reasons. So the first reason is that they have shorter, more horizontal eustachian tubes that let bacteria and viruses find their way into the middle ear. The tubes are also more narrow, so it's easier for those tubes to get blocked.
Yes, and also they're adenoids, which are gland-like structures in the back of the throat, they're typically larger and can interfere with the opening of these eustachian tubes.
When a kiddo gets an ear infection, some of the signs and symptoms are typically going to be ear pain, especially when the child is laying down.
They might tug or pull at their ear.
They're going to have trouble sleeping, and they might cry more than usual.
They might have trouble hearing, or they aren't responding to sounds or their name like they normally do.
This is kind of where it relates to what we're talking about today, but they could also have loss of balance.
They're most likely going to have a fever of 100 degrees Fahrenheit or higher.
They're going to have some drainage of fluid from the ear. Not blood. It's usually just like a clear or yellowish fluid.
Mm-hmm. And they might also present with a headache or loss of their appetite.
Rachel, did you get infections as a kid?
You know, that's funny you ask. I was just talking to my mom about this and she said, no, I didn't have any ear infections growing up. Did you?
I think I had like one.
Yeah. But here's the thing is I have like a vestibular sensitivity though. So I think that's interesting that I didn't have ear infections, but I still have some vestibular issues that aren't related to my ear tubes.
True.
And you have no vestibular issues at all.
No. I am integrated 100%.
All right. Let's talk about why some kids might get chronic reoccurring ear infections and some kids don't get any.
Yeah. So the most common reason is that the fluid isn't draining properly. And this could be for a variety of reasons. Family history can be a factor. And then, of course, poor immune system is going to be a factor.
Mm-hmm. Some research out there suggests that children with a diagnosis of autism, they're at a higher risk of ear infections and at risk at a younger age. But we also found conflicting research that suggests otherwise. So that's kind of where we're going to go with this episode. The research is minimal, but our experience has shown some really interesting connections and correlations between everything that we do and the vestibular system and ear infections and all that stuff. So that's kind of the route that we're going to go from here.
Right. And so really quick, a typical ear infection affects the middle ear versus the inner ear. And the inner ear is where our vestibular system, you know, is all at, is all connected, is all located. So I think that that's one of the challenges too, is that when a kiddo gets a typical ear infection, it doesn't even affect the part of the ear where the vestibular system's located. And so I think that goes along with like the poor research.
Mm-hmm. But you guys know it's all connected. We talk really? About this all the time. It is all connected, whether the research is 100% backing it up or not. And I mean, it's hard to do a research study on this specific topic, I feel like. So that could be why it's lacking.
Right. I can't even imagine trying to do a research study.
Yeah. So like we said before, there's some research that suggests those kids with autism might be at a higher risk, but why?
Well, as most of us know, a child with a diagnosis of autism is more likely to have a poor immune system. Their body can't fight off infection as well. And I think it goes along with chronic inflammation and gut issues.
Mm-hmm. Yes. You know, that gut-brain connection, anything that's not working well in the gut is definitely going to directly affect the brain. And these kiddos also struggle with communication to be able to say when they're in pain, why they're in pain. And a lot of them also struggle with the sensory side of things as well. And we talk about the interoceptive system, and they might not recognize that they're in pain, or they can't localize where the pain is. So that's just another layer of the onion to peel here in this situation.
So like we mentioned before, in our experience in the past, like what, 6.5, almost 7 years?
Yeah.
You know, we have found that a child who has experienced chronic ear infections throughout their childhood is more likely to have vestibular challenges.
Yes.
It's funny because when we're talking with families, we'll often ask them like, okay, well, have they had ear infections? And the family's going to be like, yeah, they get ear infections all year long or something. Mm-hmm. Or sometimes they'll be like, no, not really.
Yeah.
So it's an important question to ask.
It is. So let's talk about some of those vestibular challenges that we might see in children who do experience these chronic ear infections.
They're going to struggle with spatial awareness, so understanding where their body is, and then balance, which we did talk about in like one of the common signs and symptoms of ear infections is loss of balance. So it does play a factor.
Absolutely. And these kiddos might also present with poor tolerance of this vestibular input. So we might see gravitational insecurity, or they just might dislike movement. So these are the kids who, you know, their feet leave the ground and they're crying and they're uncomfortable, or they hate being flipped upside down or thrown in the air. That type of avoidance to movement.
And I think going along with that, these children might be more sedentary. Mm-hmm. They might not move around as much as a child without chronic ear infections, just because it's uncomfortable when they do.
Yes. And we also might see these poor postural reflexes. So the ability to maintain like an upright position while moving through space, maybe on a swing or, you know, crossing a balance beam. And, you know, we always talk about primitive reflexes. And if your kiddo isn't like progressing through these developmental movements and patterns, then they're not going to be getting the natural movement to help facilitate their vestibular system. Maybe things aren't going to be moving. The fluid isn't going to be moving back and forth between their ears. And then we can see more of those ear infections occur. I don't know. Could just be my own theory.
we're professionals on this, so you know. But yeah, it does. It relates all back to those primitive reflexes, and you know, it's all connected. So some other things that we often see with these kiddos are car sickness, or even just dislike of getting in the car. So these might be kids who you go to put them in the car seat and they are screaming because they don't like it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And we also might see poor speech development. So kiddos who have chronic ear infections might be delayed in their speech. They might have some sort of speech impediment. They just might not be on track speech-wise.
And that goes back to the fact that speech and language development is related to the vestibular system. And it's also related to our ability to hear sounds and voices. And so, geez, it's just everything.
Everything.
If your kiddo is suffering from chronic ear infections, obviously you're going to be going back and forth with the doctor. You might have tubes, but just make sure that you are really communicating these challenges to your occupational therapist so that they know how to address treatment. Because if a child's in the middle of an ear infection, treatment is going to look a little bit different from that vestibular standpoint.
Absolutely. So one thing that you can do if your child has ear tubes or if they are prone to chronic ear infections, then let's focus on giving them more vestibular input throughout the day. So if you feel like, you know, maybe your child, you have a younger kiddo and you feel like they could be at a potential risk for developing some vestibular challenges due to their ear infections, then let's get ahead of the game and let's incorporate some specific vestibular-based activities.
And the go-tos are really running, jumping, swinging,
rolling downhill, somersaulting. Anytime, this is kind of the example that we like to give. Anytime that your head is in a position change. So if you are looking up at the sky and then looking down at your toes, that's a head position change. If you're looking down at your toes and then you turn your head to the left and then you turn your head to the right, that is going to activate that vestibular system as well. So focusing on both sides of the body, both directions, just really getting that head in tons of different planes and positions.
And again, if your child is more sedentary and they don't like that movement, you're just going to have to start small.
Mm-hmm.
Start with really simple movement activities, even just walking, doing more walking and maybe pointing out different things you see in the environment so their head is turning while they're walking. I mean, that's super simple that you can do every day.
Absolutely. If your kiddo is in the stroller often and you're taking them around the park for a walk, have them get out of the stroller if they're old enough and run across the grass and then log roll down the grass and just take those opportunities to let them get out of the stroller and get that movement as well.
And if your child isn't old enough to like get up and walk, so if you're, you know, still in infancy year and you're doing a stroller walk, find a spot where you can stop and get your baby out of the stroller and play on the ground for a little while.
And going along with that infancy, if you think about the difference between carrying a baby in a car seat versus carrying a baby on your hip or baby wearing. You know, you're moving, you're bending over, you're standing back up, you're turning, you're twisting. And when you are holding your baby is getting that same vestibular movement that you are getting. And in turn, that's going to help develop their vestibular system versus if they are just on their back in a car seat, in a stroller throughout the day. So
I mean, we've talked about containers before, you
guys.
We
have. But that, you know, it's just so important to bring it up here because one of the big reasons why we don't push containers is because of the vestibular system. Containers don't help facilitate the development of the vestibular system. So
yep.
It's all connected.
And when your child is in a container for the majority of their waking hours or they're just not moving, they're not activating their vestibular system, which means the fluid in their ears is not moving. And I mean, there is a connection with that and ear infections for sure.
Definitely. Definitely, definitely. Despite the fact that research is limited in that area, we have seen it consistently. And, you know, sometimes the experience is, it's important to take that into consideration and to see that and share it. So if you guys have any specific research that you found on this topic, that you want to share with us, please feel free. We would love it if you did that.
Yep. You can email it to us or you can just message us on Instagram. If you are a parent or a therapist and you have experience with this and you're like, oh my gosh, I know exactly what you're talking about. My kiddo has chronic ear infections and they, you know, hate to move and don't like to run and jump. Like, let us know. We would love to hear your stories. If you have experience in the opposite of what we're talking about, we would love to hear that as well.
We would love for you to share your stories with us. And, you know, just we're all here together in this. And, you know, as always, there's no judgment. There's no hard feelings, whatever you choose to do with your kiddos. But we are sharing what works for us and what we found, and hopefully it's helpful.
So, takeaways here, you guys. Get your kids to move. Activate that vestibular system every single day.
Yes. That's it. That's all you need to know.
That's so easy.
All right, you guys. If you have 5 seconds to leave us a review on iTunes, that would be so helpful for us. We can reach more families who maybe haven't found us and they're, you know, going down the sensory journey with their kiddos, or therapists who are looking for some new ideas. So leave us a review and we will chat with you guys next week. We are so excited to work together to help create confident kids all over the world and work towards a happier, healthier life. Just a friendly reminder, this is general information related to occupational therapy, pediatrics, and sensory integration. We do not know you or your child, therefore we do not know any specific needs. Therefore, you should always refer back to your pediatrician and occupational therapist for more information.